From New York, this is Democracy Now!
We're going to have troops everywhere. We're not going to let this happen to our country. We're not going to let our country be torn apart.
President Trump has deployed the California National Guard in defiance of California's governor and the Los Angeles mayor after protests against ICE military-style raids in and around Los Angeles continue. In addition, Defense Secretary Hegseth has placed 500 Marines on alert. We'll speak with Ron Gochez, organizer of some of the protests.
It is a beautiful day of resistance because Trump, the administration, the Border Patrol, ICE, they know, now they know, that they cannot go anywhere in this country where our people are and try to kidnap our workers, our people, and they can't do that without an organized and fierce resistance. And that's what they encountered here today.
This marks the first time in 60 years a president has deployed the National Guard without a governor's request. National Guard, Marines, is this a violation of the Posse Comitatus Act? We'll speak with the Brennan Center. And Israeli Navy commandos have intercepted a boat carrying activists with the Freedom Flotilla Coalition, attempting to bring humanitarian aid to Gaza.
My name is Greta Thunberg, and I am from Sweden. If you see this video, we have been intercepted and kidnapped in international waters by the Israeli occupational forces or forces that support Israel.
Activists on the Freedom Flotilla say drones have dropped a white substance on the ship. We'll get an update. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In defiance of local officials, President Trump has deployed the California National Guard to Los Angeles after protests erupted in response to ICE conducting military-style raids in and around the city. This marks the first time since the 1960s a president has deployed the National Guard without a governor's request. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth has also placed on high alert 500 Marines at Camp Pendleton. White House advisor Stephen Miller described the ICE protests as an insurrection. On Sunday, Trump warned this could be just the beginning of deploying troops on U.S. streets.
We're going to have troops everywhere. We're not going to let this happen to our country. We're not going to let our country be torn apart.
Earlier today, Trump wrote on social media, "Looking really bad in L.A., bring in the troops," unquote. California Governor Gavin Newsom plans to sue the Trump administration today. He wrote, quote, "Commandeering a state's National Guard without consulting the governor of that state is illegal and immoral," unquote. On Sunday, Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass decried the ICE raids and the Trump administration response.
What we're seeing in Los Angeles is chaos that is provoked by the administration. When you raid Home Depot and workplaces, when you tear parents and children apart, and when you run armored caravans through our streets, you cause fear and you cause panic. And deploying federalized troops is a dangerous escalation.
Trump's border czar, Tom Homan, has threatened to have Mayor Bass and Governor Newsom arrested if they interfere with federal immigration enforcement. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders said Trump is, quote, moving this country rapidly into authoritarianism. California State Senator Scott Wiener said, quote, this is what fascism looks like, unquote. On Sunday, police forces in Los Angeles fired rubber bullets, flash bang grenades and tear gas at protesters. Police have made at least 27 arrests. Last night, police declared all of downtown Los Angeles an unlawful assembly area. Earlier in the day, officers repeatedly fired rubber bullets at protesters. One hit an Australian journalist as she was reporting from the streets.
After hours of standing off, this situation has now rapidly deteriorated. The LAPD moving horseback, firing rubber bullets at protesters, moving them on through the heart of LA.
You just shut the f*** up.
You okay?
I gave you...
I'm good.
Are you okay?
Over the past week, federal immigration agents arrested about 118 people in the L.A. region. On Friday, ICE agents also arrested David Huerta, president of the California branch of the SEIU, that's Service Employees International Union. He was charged with obstruction and needed to be treated at the hospital with injuries. He remains in custody. We'll go to Los Angeles after headlines. Israeli Navy commandos have intercepted a boat carrying activists with the Freedom Flotilla Coalition who are attempting to bring humanitarian aid to Gaza. Brazilian activist Thiago Avila issued this warning just before Israeli forces raided the ship, the Madeleine, in international waters about 100 nautical miles from Gaza.
Everyone, we are under attack. Please sound the alarm. They're throwing a lot of substances and objects on us. Quadcopters, the most dangerous ones. Right now, they're jamming our comms. They're saying random stuff just to jam our communication. They're doing this so that we cannot get help.
Those on the ship include Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg, who recorded this message before the Israeli raid.
My name is Greta Thunberg, and I am from Sweden. If you see this video, we have been intercepted and kidnapped in international waters by the Israeli occupational forces or forces that support Israel. I urge all my friends, family, and comrades to put pressure on the Swedish government to release me and the others as soon as possible.
Israeli forces are now bringing the boat to the Israeli port city of Ashdod. UN Special Rapporteur Francesca Albanese condemned the Israeli raid on the ship. She wrote online, quote, "While Madeleine must be released immediately, every Mediterranean port should send boats with aid, solidarity and humanity to Gaza. They shall sail together. United, they will be unstoppable. Breaking the siege is a legal duty for states and a moral imperative for all of us," she wrote. We'll have more on this story later in the broadcast. In Gaza, hungry Palestinians are continuing to be shot dead while attempting to get aid. On Sunday, Al Jazeera reported at least five people were killed and more than 70 wounded after Israeli forces opened fire near an aid site. More than 130 Palestinians have been killed near aid sites over the past 2 weeks since the launch of the shadowy U.S.-Israeli aid operation. On Sunday, Palestinians gathered in Khan Yunis for the funeral of Khaled Dokma, a father of five who was fatally shot while trying to feed his family. This is his aunt, Salwa.
He was going to get food for his children and himself to make them live, feed them because they don't have a pinch of flour at home. They can't find food to eat. He was going to get aid to sustain his house, to feed them. He was walking there. On his way, he did not reach the distribution site and was shot.
At least four people have died in the Ukrainian city of Kharkiv as Russia launched a major drone and missile attack on Ukraine's second largest city. At least 60 people were injured. Meanwhile, Russian forces are moving closer to the northern Ukrainian city of Sumy. A number of nearby villages have already fallen. This all comes days after President Trump compared Russia and Ukraine with children fighting in a park.
Sometimes you see two young children fighting like crazy. They hate each other and they're fighting in a park. And you try and pull them apart. They don't want to be pulled. Sometimes you're better off letting them fight for a while and then pulling them apart.
In an interview with ABC News, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky responded by saying, quote, "We are not kids with Putin at the playground. He's a murderer who came to this park to kill the kids," unquote. President Donald Trump's new travel ban has gone into effect. The impacted countries are Afghanistan, Burma, Chad, Equatorial Guinea, Eritrea, Haiti, Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Yemen, and the Republic of Congo, not to be confused with the Democratic Republic of Congo. New travel restrictions have also been placed on seven additional countries. Critics of the ban include Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal, who wrote on social media, quote, "This ban, expanded from Trump's Muslim ban in his first term, will only further isolate us on the world stage," she said. The Trump administration's returned Kilmer Abrego Garcia to the United States more than 2 months after the Maryland father was wrongfully sent to a maximum security mega prison in El Salvador. But instead of reuniting with his family, Kilmer was brought to a courtroom in Nashville, Tennessee. On Friday, Attorney General Pam Bondi revealed a grand jury has indicted him for allegedly transporting undocumented migrants within the United States. Abrego Garcia's attorney criticized the government's move. Simon Sandoval Moschenberg said, quote, "Due process means the chance to defend yourself before you're punished, not after. This is an abuse of power, not justice," he said. The chief of the criminal division at the U.S. Attorney's Office in Nashville resigned in protest of the indictment. Ben Schrader had worked at the U.S. Attorney's Office for 15 years. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled the Trump administration's so-called Department of Government Efficiency can have access to sensitive records about millions of people held by the Social Security Administration. The court's three liberal justices dissented. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson warned the decision, quote, creates grave privacy risks for millions of Americans, unquote. In a separate ruling, the justices ruled DOJ can keep much of its inner workings secret for now without having to comply to requests filed under the Freedom of Information Act. In another decision, the U.S. Supreme Court's unanimously rejected a $10 billion lawsuit by the Mexican government against U.S. gun manufacturers. Mexico had accused Smith & Wesson, Colt, Glock, and other companies of fueling violence in Mexico by knowingly allowing its guns to be smuggled into the hands of drug cartels. The court ruled gun makers are shielded from liability under U.S. law. In news from Colombia, Senator Miguel Uribe was shot and seriously injured during a campaign rally in Bogota Saturday. Uribe is a member of the right-wing Democratic Center Party and is running for president in the 2026 election. He's the grandson of the former Colombian president Julio César Turbe Ayala. El Salvador is escalating its crackdown on critics of President Nayib Bukele. On Saturday, Salvadoran police arrested prominent constitutional lawyer Enrique Anaya, who's publicly called Bukele a dictator. His arrest follows the recent detention of Ruth Lopez, an anti-corruption lawyer with the organization Cristosal. Over the weekend, Cristosal warned Anaya's arrest marks a disturbing escalation in the criminalization of those who defend the rule of law in El Salvador, unquote. Pope Leo has openly criticized nationalist political movements. He made the comments on Sunday during Mass at the Vatican.
Where there is love, there is no room for prejudice, for security zones separating us from our neighbors, for the exclusionary mindset that tragically we now see emerging also in political nationalisms. Let us invoke the spirit of love and peace, that he may open borders, break down walls, dispel hatred, and help us to live as children of our one Father who is in heaven.
The United Nations Ocean Conference has opened in the southern French city of Nice. Organizers are pushing for the ratification of the High Seas Treaty, which aims to protect 30% of the Earth's land and sea by 2030. The treaty only will go into force after 60 countries ratify the treaty. This is Yann Lorenz of WWF France.
We have witnessed a lot of international conferences that eventually issue a very ambitious text, but with really no teeth. We want a text to have teeth, to be able to really impose constraints and be accompanied with final funding. We need funding. We need money to actually preserve the ocean. We need money to control, we need money to support the people that live out of the ocean, and that's what we want. We're not sure it will happen yet, so that's why we're putting pressure on our governments.
And in climate news, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, has revealed global carbon dioxide levels exceeded 430 parts per million last month. Researchers say this is the highest amount of CO2 in the Earth's atmosphere in as many as 30 million years, long before humans roamed the planet. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now!'s Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
We begin today's show in Los Angeles, where President Trump has deployed the California National Guard in defiance of California Governor Gavin Newsom and Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass. This comes after protests erupted against ICE's military-style raids in and around L.A. The Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, has also threatened to deploy 500 active-duty Marines from Camp Pendleton. White House advisor Stephen Miller labeled the ICE protests an insurrection. On Sunday, Trump warned this could be just the beginning of deploying troops on U.S. streets.
We're going to have troops everywhere. We're not going to let this happen to our country. We're not going to let our country be torn apart.
Earlier today, Trump wrote on social media, looking really bad in L.A., bring in the troops, unquote. California Governor Gavin Newsom plans to sue the Trump administration today. He wrote, quote, commandeering a state's National Guard without consulting the governor of that state is illegal and immoral, unquote. This marks the first time since the 1960s a president's deployed the National Guard without a governor's request. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders said Trump is, quote, moving this country rapidly into authoritarianism. California State Senator Scott Wiener said, quote, this is what fascism looks like, unquote. On Sunday, police forces in Los Angeles fired rubber bullets, flashbang grenades and tear gas at protesters who gathered to condemn the ICE raids and deployment of the National Guard. Sunday night, L.A. police declared all of downtown Los Angeles an unlawful assembly. Over the past week, federal immigration agents arrested about 118 people in the L.A. region. On Friday, agents also arrested David Huerta, president of the California branch of SEIU, that Service Employees International Union. He was charged with obstruction, needed to be treated at the hospital because of his injuries. He remains in custody. On Sunday, Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass decried the ICE raids and the Trump administration's response.
What we're seeing in Los Angeles is chaos that is provoked by the administration. When you raid Home Depot and workplaces, when you tear parents and children apart, and when you run armored caravans through our streets, you cause fear and you cause panic. And deploying federalized troops is a dangerous escalation.
This comes as Trump's border czar, Tom Homan, has threatened to have Mayor Bass and Governor Newsom arrested if they interfere with federal immigration enforcement. Homan spoke to NBC's Jacob Soboroff.
You cross that line. It's a felony to knowingly harbor and conceal an illegal alien. It's a felony to impede law enforcement from doing their job.
Do you think that the mayor of L.A. is doing that?
If she crossed that line, we'll ask DOJ to prosecute. Do I think she's crossed the line? I don't think she's crossed the line yet. But I'm telling you, the warning we're sending is we're not going to tolerate people attacking our officers.
On Sunday, police in Los Angeles made at least 27 arrests. Officers repeatedly fired rubber bullets at protesters. One hit an Australian journalist as she was reporting from the streets.
After hours of standing off, this situation has now rapidly deteriorated. The LAPD moving horseback. Firing rubber bullets at protesters, moving them on through the heart of L.A.
You just shot the
You okay?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm good.
Are you okay?
In a minute, we'll go to Los Angeles to speak with one of the people who helped organize the protests against the ICE raids. But first on Sunday, Democracy Now! Reached Janet Martinez, the co-founder of Indigenous Communities and Leadership, or Cielo, in Los Angeles to talk about the impact of the ICE raids and arrests.
Around 34,000 Indigenous people live in Los Angeles County, which is around 40% of the Indigenous population based on the census data alone, which we know is an undercount. So for us, we know a lot of community members have been impacted by the recent raids by ICE all over Los Angeles. We've gotten calls from the Zapotec community, from the Mije community, and Quiche communities that have been detained during these raids.
For more, we are joined in Los Angeles by Ron Goches, community organizer with Unión del Barrio and a high school history teacher. His group helped organize some of the protests in Los Angeles. There's so much to discuss, Ron. Can you describe the weekend? It didn't even start with the protests. You had President Trump threatening to cut off aid to California, federal aid. You had the ICE raids. And then talk about what happened even before then Trump announced that he would deploy the National Guard. And Hegseth said he's put the Marines on high alert.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for having me today. This weekend was marked with absolute and total violence, brutal repression, and attacks, coordinated attacks against our community. ICE agents have been around all over Southern California, kidnapping people, tearing apart families, and we see this as an attack against our people. And so that's why you see young people, the community coming out and resisting this repression. We are tired, sick and tired of these attacks that are dividing and separating our families. And so that's why when we have these protests, they have been peaceful. But when the repression comes from the state, whether it's the sheriffs, the LAPD, or on Saturday, for example, in Paramount, California, it was a border patrol. It was brutal violence. They shot thousands of rounds of tear gas, of flashbang grenades, of all kinds of repressive instruments used against the community. But what they didn't think was going to happen was that the people would resist and would fight back. And that's exactly what happened in Paramount and in Compton, California, where for 8.5 hours, the people combated in the streets against the Border Patrol. And after 8.5 hours of battle, and it was a battle because there were people throwing back tear gas, people throwing anything that they could to defend themselves and to defend the workers that were being surrounded by over 100 Border Patrol agents. After 8.5 hours, the Border Patrol, the sheriffs had to retreat. They had to retreat because of the fierce resistance of the community. And the hundreds of workers that were in the factories around them were able to escape. They were able to go to their cars and go home. That was only thanks to the resistance that allowed them to go home that night. And so that is one clear sign that if we organize ourselves, if we resist, we can defend our communities from ICE terror, from the Border Patrol, or from any federal agency that wishes to separate our families. And so because of that, while that was happening, while that resistance was happening, we saw President Trump give the order of the National Guard. And so for us as indigenous people to these lands, to this continent, this is nothing new. The military going after us is nothing new. The United States and this part of the country is a result of a military invasion of Mexico. And so we know what's coming. It's more repression. But what they have to know is that they're also going to face more resistance from the community. We don't want to be violent and we don't advocate for violence. But when they use brutal violence against our people, and kidnapping mothers and fathers from children is violent, when they do things like that, we have every right, every historic right to defend our communities by any ways that we can. And we're going to continue to do so.
And Ron, you mentioned Paramount on Saturday. For those people who are not familiar with that town south of Los Angeles, there's also been a change in the Trump administration tactics. Originally, they claimed they were going after criminals. Now, increasingly, they're being pushed to increase the arrest numbers, so they're hitting workplaces. So, could you talk about this change and how this is affecting the community?
Yeah, the fascist Trump administration is trying to lie and confuse the American people into supporting this repression, into supporting these immigration raids by having the general public think that they're going after criminals. But now what's publicly known, what's painfully clear, is that the majority of these raids are going after workers, working class people. They're not going after criminals. They're going at Home Depots. They're going at construction sites. You know, they're going to factories where people are working, where they're creating the resources necessary for this society to exist. And so I think everyone now knows that it's a lie. They're going after anyone and everyone who has brown skin specifically. And, you know, they're attacking pretty much anybody. You have the Asian community. You have black immigrants under attack. You have anybody in this country who isn't a white male, basically, who is under attack. So I think working people everywhere should see this as an attack on working class people. And they should all unite in solidarity to repel these attacks against our community. And so, again, we've proven time and time again, when we organize ourselves, we can defend ourselves. At this moment, it's 5:30 or so in Los Angeles, or 5 in the morning in Los Angeles. We already have people all over Los Angeles right now patrolling the streets of Los Angeles looking for any ICE activity. That's the work that we do on a daily basis to protect our communities. So on one hand, there's street protests, and those are important. But the other part is organized and coordinated resistance by patrolling our streets, defending our streets. We can't protect the entire city of Los Angeles, but in our neighborhoods, in our barrios, we can defend ourselves, and we are doing that.
And what is your sense of the response of California's Governor Newsom and also the mayor of Los Angeles, Karen Bass, so far?
Yeah, we understand that they're against what's happening, but we also have to say that talk is cheap. Governor Newsom can order the National Guard to stand down. If he's against President Trump using them against us, well, he can order them to stand down. He has not done so. Here in the city of Los Angeles, Karen Bass is saying that she's against the raids that are happening. Well, why are her police officers aiding and collaborating with ICE, with the Border Patrol, to attack the community? If they are really there to serve and protect, as it says on their vehicles, then those rubber bullets and that gas that they're shooting right now, they're aiming at the wrong people. It shouldn't be aimed at us. It should be aimed at the agents who are trying to kidnap the people in our community. But obviously, we know we cannot expect help or support from the police, from the sheriffs here in Los Angeles. Even though we live in a state that's run by a Democrat as a governor, we have a Democratic Party mayor, we have Democratic Party council members, we cannot expect for them to defend the people. Only the people will organize and defend themselves, and that's what we're doing right now.
Ron Gutierrez, this is a very interesting point, because it was being portrayed in different ways yesterday when the LAPD moved in and was clearing people was it Alameda, the federal building. In some media reports, they were saying they were clearing protesters away so that they wouldn't be directly confronting the National Guard, which the mayor has criticized, the National Guard in full, what they say, full battle rattle. But you're saying that although Governor Newsom may sue today, he could actually tell the National Guard to stand down. And do you see any possibility of the LAPD confronting the National Guard, and maybe if Hegseth calls out the Marines on the streets?
No, we don't anticipate that at all. I have personally been physically removed from an ICE raid here in South Central Los Angeles by the LAPD. So when the mayor says that the LAPD doesn't collaborate with ICE or with federal agencies, it's a total lie. While you may not have LAPD officers on the streets asking people for their citizenship or detaining people for immigration reasons, what you do have is the LAPD, the LA County Sheriffs, the CHP, or any law enforcement agency that's here locally, they are collaborating. They are protecting the operations. They close down the streets around operations so that ICE can do their kidnappings of our people. And so that is a direct collaboration. And here in Los Angeles, if it wasn't for the repression of the LAPD, of the LA County Sheriffs, you would have thousands of more people who would be resisting against these ICE raids. But it is the police, it is the sheriffs who are basically protecting the operations and protecting everything that's happening against our community. So do we anticipate, do we expect the police to join our side? No. But what we do say, what we can say, is that a lot of those police officers here in Los Angeles, a lot of those sheriffs, and a lot of those National Guardsmen, and even Marines, if they come here, a lot of them are Mexican, are Central American, are the sons and daughters of immigrants. In fact, here in Los Angeles, there's hundreds of LAPD officers who are DACA, meaning they're undocumented as well. And so they have to see that they're being used by the Trump administration to use violence against their own people. So we, as Unión del Barrio, do call on them to stand down. Do not raise your weapons against your own people. This is like your mother, your auntie, your father that you're repressing. So we do call on them to join us. Stand on the right side of history. Do not support the Trump administration. Support the people. Because what we're doing is fighting for justice. We're fighting for the right to live and to exist and and to work and to feed our families. There's nothing extreme about that. We just simply want to work, we want to live, and we want to have a dignified life like anyone else deserves. So we're seeing resistance right now from the people in Gaza resisting and fighting for their lives to us right here on our own historic homeland, our indigenous land here. We're fighting for our lives as well. And we're going to continue to do so, whether it's the police, the National Guard. You know, we don't want violence. We don't want violence. But we also aren't going to sit by and see our people be kidnapped and see our community be attacked by any federal agency or local law enforcement. We won't do it.
Ron, what's happening to those who've been detained? Angelica Salas, the executive director of the immigrant rights group CHRLA, said lawyers don't have access to people detained Friday. Have they been released? What's their status? And do you know about the status of David Huerta, the head of SEIU, the Service Employees International Union? We heard he was sent to the hospital with injuries and he's been detained.
Yeah, what we know right now is there's no due process for the majority of the people. People who get detained, we have reports and we have confirmed reports that people who get picked up in the morning in Los Angeles by the same day in the evening are already in Mexico City. That is confirmed. You cannot have due process in less than 24 hours. It's absolutely impossible. And so people are just being shipped immediately, across the border and to many places. We have confirmed cases of Mexican citizens, Mexican nationals who have been deported to Guatemala and dumped into Guatemala, a country that they have never been to and don't belong in. And so that's what's happening on the ground here in Los Angeles. Yesterday or Saturday, I don't know, today, it's just been one long day of resistance for us. But, elected officials have gone to the detention center where hundreds of our people are being kept, and they demanded to be allowed to enter so that they can view the conditions that the people are living in. But places like these are basements that have no restrooms, they have no sanitary conditions for the people. There's not enough food and water for the people. Those are the reports that we're getting. They were denied entry. They were not allowed to see inside to see how these people are being treated. So it's a real crisis right now for our community, and that's why we don't want to wait until our people are kidnapped and taken into detention to take action. That's why we do community patrols every day in the morning around our communities to try to prevent our people from being kidnapped. And when we say kidnapped, well, that is the exact word that we need to use, because the state is using brutal violence to separate us, to take us against our will from our families, from our homes, from our jobs, and to take us somewhere else. So that by definition is a kidnapping. And that's what we're fighting against, because we know that our people are not going to, they're not going to have due process. If lawyers and elected officials aren't being allowed to enter detention facilities to see their conditions that the people are living in, what makes us think that the people inside are going to have any type of human rights? We know that it's not happening.
And Ron, I wanted to ask you about President Trump's calling in of the National Guard, the use of flashbang grenades, of rubber bullets, of tear gas against the protesters. A reminder that back on January 6th, when a mob stormed the Capitol and tried to prevent the certification of election, there was no use of flashbang grenades or of tear gas or of rubber bullets against that mob. And yet here, it has been used, and the president is claiming there's an insurrection.
Yeah, we know that the violence is going to be against us, against our community. And, you know, sometimes people think, oh, well, you know, it's not that bad. You know, it's just a little bit of tear gas. No, we've seen people be seriously injured. On Saturday in Compton, California, when we were there on the front lines of the resistance against the sheriffs and against the Border Patrol, we saw a guy standing in front of us who got hit in the face with I don't know if it was a rubber bullet or what it was, but his face was completely split open and he was just gushing blood everywhere. You know, these things can be lethal. If these rubber bullets hit you in the eye, if they hit you in the right place, they can absolutely be lethal. And so we understand that the violence is being used against us. It is lethal. We understand that the violence is being used against us on a daily basis, whether it's by the Border Patrol or the police. It's violence against the community. And so we have every right to defend ourselves by any means necessary, because that is the livelihood, the well-being of our families is what's at stake. Children have been gassed passed here in Los Angeles. And so whether it's the National Guard, whether it's the local police, we have to resist this, because in Los Angeles, we clearly understand what's happening. The Trump administration is trying to make an example of Los Angeles. Los Angeles is the heart of the Mexican and Central American community here in the United States. And so they think that if they can break us, they can break anyone in the country. And so we understand that. And that's what we know. We cannot afford to fail. The resistance will continue. Whether they keep threatening us or not, we will continue. We will be peaceful every time that we can. But if we face violence, that where we have to defend ourselves, we have every human right to do so as well.
Ron Goetschers, we want to thank you for being with us. High school history teacher, community organizer with the group Unión del Barrio, organizer of a number of the protests that have taken place in Los Angeles. When we come back, this marks the first time in, like, 60 years, a president has deployed the National Guard without a governor's request. We'll speak with a lawyer at the Brennan Center. Stay with us.
Cerca de aquí lo dejaron abandonado, un objeto sin vida junto a la esquina. Yo no entiendo por qué los que deben proteger.
La Jura, The Oath by Chicano Batman, performing in our Democracy Now! Studio. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. We look more now at how President Trump's deployed the California National Guard to Los Angeles in defiance of local and state officials after protests erupted in response to ICE conducting military-style raids in and around the city. This marks the first time in some 60 years a president's deployed the National Guard without a governor's request. Meanwhile, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth has threatened to deploy 500 active-duty Marines at Camp Pendleton. California's Governor Gavin Newsom responded on X, quote, "The Secretary of Defense is now threatening to deploy active-duty Marines on American soil against its own citizens. This is deranged behavior," the governor wrote. Trump warned Sunday this could be just the beginning of deploying troops into U.S. streets. Is all of this a violation of the Posse Comitatus Act? That's the question of lawyer Elizabeth Goteen, who is the co-director of the Liberty and National Security Program at the Brennan Center for Justice. Elizabeth Goteen, thanks so much for joining us again on Democracy Now! You wrote this piece in May. You warned about the possibility of the National Guard being called up to patrol the streets. And let's be clear, not just of L.A., the memo that President Trump has used to deploy the National Guard and then possibly the Marines in L.A. does not mention Los Angeles, which means it could be across the country. Explain the legality of all of this.
Well, that's a tough order. The Posse Comitatus Act ordinarily prohibits federal armed forces, and that includes the federalized National Guard, from participating directly in law enforcement activities, which includes activities involved in quelling civil unrest, unless Congress has expressly authorized it. Now, under the Insurrection Act, that is an authorization, a broad authorization, for the president to deploy troops to quell civil unrest or to enforce the law in a crisis. But as broad as that law is, the Department of Justice has historically interpreted it much more narrowly in keeping with the Constitution and tradition. And basically, the rule is that the military should not be deployed except as an absolute last resort in situations where state and local officials are either just completely overwhelmed and ask for help, or the state and local officials are sitting back and doing nothing and sort of letting the problems unfold, which is pretty much what happened during the civil rights era. Now, President Trump hasn't even invoked the Insurrection Act, which is this exception to the Posse Comitatus Act. He is using an obscure law in a way that it has never been used before. It is questionable whether this law constitutes a sort of an independent waiver of the Posse Comitatus Act. He is also relying on a claim of inherent constitutional authority to deploy troops to protect federal personnel and property and functions. This is an executive branch claim that's been made for decades, but in the sort of robust form that this claim is being made now, it has not been tested by the courts. So there are definitely legal questions, and at bottom, under any law or any legal theory, it is not appropriate to authorize the deployment of federal troops anywhere in the country where there is either a protest against ICE activity happening, whether or not there's any violence involved, or where a protest is likely to occur. In other words, the protest isn't even happening, let alone have reached a point where it's overwhelming state and local authorities. And that's what this order purports to do. This is absolutely unprecedented. It's extremely dangerous. And again, it would be an abuse of any law that the president was relying on.
Well, Elizabeth, you mentioned during the civil rights era, there were numerous or several instances of National Guard or U.S. military being called into the South in Little Rock in 1958, and 1962 in the rioting against the admission of James Meredith to the University of Mississippi, and again in 1965 in Alabama. What were the reasons then that the federal government used?
Right. In those situations, the state or local authorities, in some cases, they were the problem, such as in Little Rock, Arkansas, where the governor basically said the Arkansas National Guard is not going to let this happen. They are going to block the desegregation of schools in Little Rock, despite the fact that there was a federal court order requiring desegregation. And then, in some cases, it was literally the case that the state and local authorities were causing the problem, and they were rebelling against the authority of the United States. What President Eisenhower did in 1957 was that he federalized the Arkansas National Guard and then ordered them to stand down and sent active duty armed troops into Little Rock to enforce the desegregation order. And then in other cases, there were, people exercising their civil rights, marchers, protesters who were being threatened by white mobs and attacked by white mobs who opposed their civil rights, and the state and local authorities would do nothing to protect them. And in fact, we're standing shoulder by shoulder with the white mobs. And those are the kinds of instances where deploying the military, especially back then, when federal law enforcement did not have the same capacity that it does today. And so deploying the military was not only appropriate, but necessary in those cases.
And I wanted to ask you, what are the powers of Governor Newsom to stop this or to object to what is going on?
Well, it's important that he object, and he has been objecting. He's not only been saying, this is unlawful, but he has also, in so many words, but he has also been saying, this is dangerous. This is going to be inflammatory. It's going to escalate tensions rather than de-escalating them. We want safety for everyone in this scenario. We want peace. And we want calm. And frankly, before the National Guard arrived, things had really settled down and things were peaceful. They were stable. And the governor said, if you deploy the National Guard, it's going to be very incendiary and things are going to erupt. And that creates a public safety problem. And we are seeing that. I mean, that is exactly what has happened. I mean, one of the reasons why we don't have the military enforcing the law and serving as domestic police in this country is because it's not their job. It's not their training. Our military is the best fighting force in the world, and they are trained to fight and destroy an enemy. They are not trained, and within the National Guard, most of them are not trained. They don't have this extensive training that police officers have in exactly this endeavor, which is to handle civil unrest with civilian populations in a manner that respects constitutional rights and in a manner that is going to de-escalate rather than make things worse. Now, I'm not going to say that it happens perfectly and that the police are always acting as a model of this, but when you introduce soldiers into the equation with their very, very different training and mission, then it really does increase the risks, not only to the civilians, but actually to the soldiers themselves. So that is still another reason why we don't have soldiers rather than just defending and protecting the United States against, hostile, foreign powers, turning their power against people inside this country.
Very quickly, Elizabeth, we just have a minute. Our previous guest, Ron Gochez, said that the Governor Newsom, could tell the National Guard to stand down. That's my first question. Number two, Homans has threatened to have both Bass, the mayor of Los Angeles, and the governor arrested. And the governor said, go right ahead. Your response to both?
It's such a shame that we are in this situation where we have to have comments like this. I think unfortunately, I'm afraid that what we are likely to see is a continuing sort of escalation of the situation. But I think there are legal remedies here. As I said, there are very serious legal questions about the president's memorandum. And it is possible for people who have been, directly harmed by this and, also for states that are in this position to bring legal challenges. And hopefully something like that can maybe bring an end to what we are seeing.
And we thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're extremely busy at this moment as you take on the question of, is this a violation when they talk about calling out the Marines when they deploy the National Guard to the Posse Comitatus Act? Elizabeth Goitein is co-director of the Liberty and National Security Program at the Brennan Center for Justice. Next up, the Israeli Navy commandos have intercepted a humanitarian aid flotilla making its way to Gaza on board, among others, Greta Thunberg. Stay with us. Brazilian activist Thiago Avila on board the Freedom Flotilla coalition boat. That's the name, Madeline. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Human rights groups around the world are condemning Israel's attack on the Freedom Flotilla ship called the Madeline. They're saying it's a war crime. The ship was sailing to Gaza with vital humanitarian aid for Palestinians who are being starved by Israel's strict blockade since early March, with 11 activists and one journalist on board. Israeli soldiers, in the early hours of Monday, they have not, the activists, been heard of or located since. Those detained include the renowned Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg, Thiago Avila, who we just heard from Brazil, Yasmin Achar from Germany. She was scheduled to join us on today's broadcast before she and the rest of the group were forcibly taken by the Israeli Navy. Israeli forces intercepted the flotilla on international waters at approximately 3 this morning, some 110 nautical miles from Gaza. This is Brazilian activist Thiago Avila describing the moments before Israeli forces boarded the ship.
Everyone, we are under attack. Please sound the alarm. They're throwing a lot of substances and objects on us. Quadcopters, the most dangerous ones. Right now, they're jamming our comms. They are saying random stuff just to jam our communication. They are doing this so that we cannot get help.
And this is an Israeli soldier ordering the ship to stop sailing toward Gaza.
The maritime zone of the coast of Gaza is closed to naval traffic as part of a legal naval blockade. If you wish to deliver humanitarian aid to the Gaza Strip, you are able to do so through the port of Ashdod via the established channels and distribution centers.
Israeli quadcopters intercepted and attacked the group of activists spraying a white chemical-like substance on the ship, the activists said, which hurt their eyes. Signals were jammed. Disturbing audio was broadcast to interfere with communication over the radio system. Israeli soldiers on speedboats then boarded the Madeleine. Israeli soldiers are also heard on video footage demanding the crew throw their mobile phones into the sea. The unarmed activists were then detained by Israeli forces. The Madeleine, the ship, seized. The ship's humanitarian aid, including baby formula, food, medical supplies, have been confiscated. The group of activists who'd been at sea for over a week since departing from Sicily on June 1st shared these pre-recorded messages after Israel's attack.
My name is Baptiste André from France. If you are seeing this video, we have been intercepted at sea and I've been kidnapped by the Israeli occupation forces, of forces of country complicit in the Israel genocide of Palestinians. I appeal to my own comrades, friends, family to put pressure on the French government to demand my release as soon as possible.
My name is Greta Thunberg and I am from Sweden. If you see this video, we have been intercepted and kidnapped in international waters by the Israeli occupational forces or forces that support Israel. I urge all my friends, family and comrades to put pressure on the Swedish government to release me and the others as soon as possible.
My name is Mark Rennes, and I come from the Netherlands. If you see this video, we have been abducted in international waters by the Israeli occupation army, or by an army helping Israel commit genocide against the Palestinian people. I call on the Dutch government to push for my release, and that of all other peaceful activists.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Pascal Morieras.
Hello, my name is Pascal Raymond Morieras. I'm French. If you are seeing this video, it means we have been intercepted by the Israeli army or one of their complicit allies.
Ou par une armée complice du génocide actuellement perpétré.
Of the ongoing genocide in Gaza.
Aussi, je demande à tous mes camarades.
I'm requesting my comrades, family, and friends ensure that the French government intervenes with the Israeli authorities, demanding my release from prison as soon as possible.
So my name is Reva Seferviya. I'm from France. If you see this video, it means that we got intercepted by the Israeli forces or complicits, and we may be in a very bad situation now. So I do ask our comrades, our family, friends, to please share this video and put pressure on the French government so that we could be with my friends released, and also, of course, that this genocide ends.
Hi, everyone. My name is Rima Hassan. I'm French-Palestinian aboard the humanitarian vessel going to Gaza. If you're seeing this video now, it's because we've been stopped by the Israeli army or their complicit allies. We count on your mobilization to put pressure on the French government to demand our release.
Okay, my name is Sergio Toribio from Spain. If you are seeing this video, we have been intercepted at sea and I have been kidnapped by Israeli occupation forces or force of our country complete in Israel genocide of Palestinians. I appeal to all my comrades, friends, family to put pressure on the Spain government to demand my release as soon as possible.
My name is Hüseyin Şuayb Ordu from Turkey. If you are seeing this video, it means that we have been intercepted at sea and I have been kidnapped by IOHF. I appeal to all my comrades, friends, family to put pressure on the Turkish government. Government to demand my release as soon as possible.
Hi everyone, I'm Thiago Avila. I'm a Brazilian citizen, member of the Freedom Flotilla Coalition. And if you're watching this video, it means that I've been detained or kidnapped by Israel or another complicit force around the Mediterranean on our way to Gaza to break the siege And in this case, I urge you to pressure my government and my comrades' governments for us to be released out of prison and for to break relations with Israel, to end the genocide and end the siege that Israel is putting the Palestinian people on. We count on you right now.
My name is Yasin Najad, and I'm from Germany. If you're seeing this video, we have been intercepted at sea and kidnapped by the Israeli occupation forces or by one of its allies, complicit and actively participating in the genocide of Palestinians. I appeal to my comrades, friends, and family to put pressure on the German government and to ask for my release as soon as possible.
Bonjour.
Hello, my name is Yanis Hamdi, a journalist from Blast Media. And if you're seeing this video, I've been detained by the Israeli forces while performing my role as a journalist. I therefore ask my colleagues and the French government to expedite my release and to return my camera equipment.
The journalists and activists are being transported to Israel's port city of Ashdod, where it's believed they'll be taken to an Israeli prison. Al Jazeera is reporting Israel's far-right National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir has instructed prison authorities to prepare separate cells for the activists from the Modlin ship at Givon prison in Ramla, where they will be held before being deported, unquote. The Freedom Flotilla Coalition had initially planned to sail from Malta last month, but the group's ship was damaged in a drone strike that left four volunteers injured. For more, we go to Anne Wright for an update, senior member of the Gaza Flotilla Steering Committee in close contact with the Madeleine. She herself was part of four Gaza Freedom Flotillas, twice imprisoned by the Israeli military. She's a 29-year U.S. Army Reserves veteran who retired as a colonel, is a former U.S. diplomat who resigned in March 2003 in opposition to the war in Iraq. And thanks so much for being with us. We only have 2 minutes. Can you give us the latest update? We watched those videos. They said, if you're seeing this video, we have been taken.
Well, thank you so much. And for playing all of those videos of the brave, courageous 12 that were on that ship. They were taken from the Madeleine, put on a Navy ship within 30 minutes after the Israeli Navy stopping them. They're still on that ship, as far as we know. They should be arriving probably within the hour into the port of Ashdod. And we're getting information from the immigration authority there that they may be deported immediately rather than going into the prison. That's something our lawyers, Adala, who are Palestinian lawyers that are in Palestine 48, that are confirming with us. So it may be that some of them don't go to Givon prison. We thank everyone for their support. There are other things that are happening in the region, the global march to Cairo, the Tunis Samud march. There are so many things people can do to keep Gaza and the West Bank in their mind. You can have your own Gaza Freedom Flotilla in any water that's close to your house and put a little Palestinian flag on a boat in a mud puddle even. It's solidarity that we need right now for the people of Gaza, and we will be sending more boats in the Gaza Freedom Flotilla, and very, very soon. So thank you all for the support, and let's make sure this genocide and ethnic cleansing that the Israelis are doing in Gaza and the West Bank ends now. Pressure on our governments, whether they be the U.S., French, German, Sweden, Brazil, Turkey, Spain, the Netherlands that were on that boat, and we will have a U.S. citizen on this next boat.
And we just have a few seconds, but the Turkish government, immediately the foreign ministry declared Israel a terrorist state and demanded the freedom of its two nationals that were on this boat. What about other governments?
Well, the other governments have been silent so far, but that's where citizen pressure comes in. So call the foreign ministries of all of those countries and put pressure on them. And put, don't forget the old United States of America, the most complicit country in the genocide of Gaza. So it's up to us as citizens to keep the pressure on. We've got citizens that are out in front of the United Nations every day on the hunger strike, and they're going to be going to the national missions of each of those countries that have citizens on the Madeleine.
We want to thank you, Colonel Anne Wright. She is a senior member of the Gaza Flotilla Steering Committee in close contact with the Madeleine volunteers. That does it for our show. She's wearing a T-shirt that says, Break the Siege. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.